Welcome to Hired Leaders, the companion podcast to the book, Pass Fail, The Urgent Need for Strategic Leadership in Higher Education. I'm Suzanne Brinker, and with my co-host, Audra Delaney Hall, I will be bringing you conversations with presidents and VPs at America's colleges and universities to look at how we can transform and lead our institutions for a sustainable future.
Hi, Danielle. It's so great to have you on the show. Welcome.
Thanks so much for having me. I really appreciate you reaching out.
We are excited to talk with you. And here, just to start with a little bit more about your higher ed journey, you're a CMO at the University of New Hampshire. And I'm just super curious to hear, how did you end up in that position? And what's your higher ed journey been?
No, thank you so much for asking. It's been quite a wild ride. I've been the CMO at the University of New Hampshire for about 20 months now. It's my first foray into the higher ed industry. Prior to that, I worked at a locally owned small boutique branding agency. And prior to that, I was at Lindt Chocolate for about 17 years. So this is my first step into higher ed. And I definitely feel like that suitcase of marketing talent and experience definitely travels with you, but it's a different industry and certainly a different set of challenges.
For sure. I mean, I can see the applicability of doing brand marketing for both, you know, a major global brand and then also for a boutique agency. I'm certain those experiences are super useful to you now. What did you expect and what did you not expect among the things that have played out over the last 20 months?
Everyone was really forthcoming during the interview process, you know, just really describing what they perceived the differences to be from not only higher ed, but public higher ed versus, you know, for-profit prior, you know, private organizations. And I think when I went into it, I anticipated that the job would really be, if you will, audience-centric. And I think I was surprised by how much the institution relies on this central marketing and communications team for the purposes of internal communications. So we spend probably 25% of our time crafting, whether it be emails or town halls or presentations and delivery of information, really just among ourselves. So I think that probably was one of the biggest surprises. The second, I would say, would be the pace of the institution. Things, decisions are really methodical. They take time. We analyze things and bring people in. There are a lot of stakeholders. When you think of that RACI model, who's responsible, who's accountable, who's consulted, and so forth, there are a lot of seats around the table and a lot of points of view to consider. And at times, I think it's really valuable and helpful. And at other times, I think it is really slows the process. So I think I was surprised by that, the pace of things and the amount of people around the table. The last thing I would say that I'm surprised about, and you may or may not agree with me, I really think that in this sort of state where the industry is facing some serious headwinds, I think a lot more resources could be united within the institution to really dial up key strategic priorities, both from, you know, an investment perspective, money, time, effort, et cetera. So those probably would be like the three biggest things.
I love it. I think that the first point that you made around audience-centric versus internal is a really common surprise when people first get into the CMO role, because a lot of universities don't really distinguish so much internally between even marketing and communication, even if they have VPs for both, which I'm not sure how that works at UNH, if you have a counterpart who's a VP of communications or if that's under your role. It sounds like maybe it's under your role. Is that right?
That's correct. Yep.
And it's just interesting, right? Because your priorities are probably around enrollment and brand and making sure that the institution can grow according to its strategic vision. And then in my experience, the internal communication piece can be a huge distraction, as important as it may be to getting buy-in and having good morale on campus and all those things. It definitely takes a lot of time to focus on that and do it well. Plus, you probably have really kind of big stakeholders who are watching that closely, including the president and board members.
You're exactly right. And I want to do it well. It does fall underneath my area of responsibility. We do want to do it well. I do believe in, employee morale. I believe in employer branding. I believe in what it is that we say as a public institution going to become, potentially fodder for media and for government relations. So I can see how what might be considered internal communications can quickly turn to more of a public vantage point or public audience centric message point. So I can see those things and I do see the value in it. I think if we were to do it right, we would dedicate specific resources to it. And that's not the case at the University of New Hampshire.
And I think it's not the case in a lot of institutions and even, having team members who have to constantly straddle those two very different sets of priorities can be tough for sure. So that's super interesting. And then of course the pace, that's a common one, right? Where when people come to higher ed for the first time, they're like, oh, things do take a long time here. And a lot of time it's decision by consensus or committee and not the way that it might work in a corporate setting. And then the third area you touched on around consolidating resources to address strategic priorities, it seems to get a little bit about at the common point that higher ed still is quite siloed. And typically, the bigger the institution, the more that is the case as well. What does the differentiation conversation look like at the University of New Hampshire right now? How differentiated would you say your brand is at the moment? And is it a big priority to differentiate it more?
That's a really good question. And it's a project that we've actually embarked on since I started. And the good news is that the president actually really encouraged me to investigate this one further. As you know, when you go in as a marketer, you ask people, what's the positioning? What's the brand equity? And I did that as part of my learning session when I first, set foot on campus. And I heard a lot of different points of view. Nobody really said the same thing. But what everyone said was, oh, we're just like a diamond in the rough. We're the best kept secret. And you and I both know that that's just like a marketer's worst nightmare. And we embarked on the process of really defining what makes the University of New Hampshire so exceptional and so special. And we've partnered with an external agency to help us really uncover, not only for the purposes of like student recruitment, but for the purposes of the university as a whole and all of the key audiences that we serve. We wanted to make sure that we were authentically representing ourselves, yet thinking about those distinguishable differences that we could really tout and really call our own. So we are about halfway through that process, and we've got a workshop actually scheduled next week where we're going to be really putting pen to paper and starting to craft that, if you will, that unique positioning. But as we've just discussed, we know that there's a lot of key stakeholders to bring on board, despite the fact that this is a project that's rooted in interviews and research and target audience centric points of view. We're going to need to really sell anything that we come up with to those broad stakeholder audiences and really bring them along, not only to understand the value of that distinguishable point of difference, but to almost create ownership and buy-in on the idea of using it, not just something that will collect dust in somebody's desk drawer, but something that would be a tool that every marketer or communicator on campus would leverage such that we're all, if you will, singing from the same song sheet. So those conversations, fortunately backed by the endorsement of the president, have been moving forward and we've gotten some traction. It'll just continue to roll forward as we complete the project. In addition to that, we've been taking a long and hard look just at the way that we've been talking about ourselves, particularly with broad reach communication, videos and such, and have begun to think about a brand new campaignable idea to try to differentiate the look and feel and the things that we're communicating in our broad reach outreach so that it is different from what you might see out there. So our new campaign is called the University of New Blank. And you sort of fill in the blank with attributes, both from a scholastic academic point of view, as well as from an experiential point of view. So things like University of New Connections, Experiences, New Heights, et cetera. And the payoff is, of course, the University of New Hampshire. So working both of those streams concurrently to roll out not only the positioning, but the campaign as well.
That's really cool. Thanks for sharing that kind of preview. And you haven't launched that new brand campaign yet, it sounds like.
We went live with it in October in linear TV, in some digital platforms, as well as in social media. So it is, and it's working. People have been, you know, our organic search traffic is up. Our hits to the homepage during the airing time have been up. And I know marketing attribution is just so difficult, but our early applications were up by over 6% as well. So it's like a perfect storm of things that are heading in the right direction.
I mean, there's that huge education piece with senior stakeholders around campaigns like brand awareness campaigns that you're describing, where it's like, it's not just about clicks or being able to attribute enrollments directly to whichever click we got, but understanding that this awareness, this positive word of mouth also really affects yield in often invisible and nonlinear ways, right?
Right. And I think, you know, you hit on a really good topic. I think from our perspective, you know, awareness generation or remaining top of mind is probably just skimming the surface in terms of efforts. It really, for us, one of our key challenges as marketers, particularly for student recruitment, is around yield. It's not only that students are applying to a variety of different institutions, it's that some just aren't deciding to go to college at all. And so that level of communication and that level of authenticity in demonstrating why UNH is so different is not only valuable to just get them to choose UNH, but to get them to just choose college in general. So big initiatives really need to be spearheaded in the area of yield.
And to go back to the differentiation conversation for a minute, you talked about the importance of research and then strategy and then also the implementation and making it consistent, having everybody work from kind of the central source of truth and also keeping it alive, right? Making sure that as new people start working there, new students come in, new faculty members come in, that brand positioning is relayed to them as well. There's this whole sort of talent onboarding aspect that doesn't just happen one time, that's kind of ongoing.
You're exactly right. And I think coming from the private side, especially from a consumer product good, that was something that was just ingrained from a marketing point of view. That's the first question that as a marketer, as a communicator, that you have in any organization that you go to. I think it's new for higher ed. There are so many amazing stories. You know, higher ed is just rich with content and storytelling and experiences and wins all around. It's just amazing how many amazing conversations can be had or content can be generated. And it to do it through a filter, for lack of a better word, like positioning, like the differentiation statement, from my side, I think is really where the education can come.
And in some ways, the differentiation really can be rooted in those unique stories that only exist on your campus. I think a lot of higher ed, this is one of my soapboxes or favorite talking points, is that a lot of campaigns in higher ed just really don't look that different from each other. We're all saying kind of the same things about our institutions, but only this particular institution has these people on its campus right now. Let's tell their stories and let's make them vulnerable and authentic, not read like a salesy testimonial either.
Totally agree. And do it in the construct of what's in it for you, dear audience member. Let me translate everything famous and different about our institution, but put it into an easily digestible way that we can just figure out what's in it for you and why should you care. So absolutely.
That's a really good point.
This podcast is sponsored by Viv Higher Education, a Boston-based women-owned consulting firm and marketing agency for colleges and universities. Viv specializes in integrating content and paid media strategies to drive brand awareness and enrollment growth. You can learn more about Viv at vivhighered.com, that's V-I-V-H-I-E.com, or follow us on LinkedIn.
Do you feel that the research that you're doing or have done on differentiation is ultimately going to impact the university's strategic plan or strategic initiatives, not just its marketing campaign?
In part, I think it might. I think what was great about the research that we conducted, and it was both a mix of like qual and quant, really to try to cast that pretty broad for a variety of different target audiences, not just for student recruitment. And they came back to us really repeating what they felt like made UNH so special. And it really ran from everything from the academic prowess, the R1 research, the student experiences and engagement, all the way to things like sustainability, as an example, and how important of a position the university takes as it relates to sustainability. And if you were to ask me, we have significant opportunity to really express all that it is that we do from a sustainability perspective. And I think should sustainability become one of the reasons why you should believe that UNH is so amazing, I think it would need to be rooted in some of our strategic priorities. So that's my opinion. Certainly, we're at early stages in knitting together our positioning, but that would be an example of where I would anticipate it potentially fueling some of that strategic discussion.
Yeah, 100%, because I'm sure research on audiences and brand position can ultimately really impact too. Yeah, the sustainability piece is a good example of what sort of bleeds into every facet of the institution, but also even just product ideas, right? Or what should the campus experience be like? What can we make better? Because the best marketing is word of mouth. So if students are happy on campus, then the brand is going to benefit for sure. I was curious about your approach to developing new audiences for UNH. Is that currently top of mind, right? Are you looking actively to expand on audiences that maybe haven't historically been at the center of the institution's focus? So examples would be, you know, professional education audiences. I'm assuming you have robust graduate audiences already, non-traditional learners, as well as potentially Hispanic audiences from states that are still growing. I know a lot of institutions are focused on that right now. What does that conversation look like at UNH?
Yeah, I think it's been ongoing, and it has, in part, some of it I would articulate has been spurred through a marketing lens, and some have been really pioneered or spurred through the academic side of the house. And at UNH, I should also mention that marketing and enrollment are also separate. So underneath a couple of different leadership functions, you have a couple of initiatives. So from an enrollment perspective, we're talking about casting the net a little bit broader relative to international audiences, as an example. Another example would be we joined forces with a local college and sort of absorb their online programming. And they have really been a champion of those adult, almost those degree completer audiences, those non-traditional students. And so in the merger between Granite State College and the University of New Hampshire, we created the College of Professional Studies to really target and hone our offering to that particular group. So there's a couple of different examples where the university has, whether it be through marketing or elsewhere, have it really attempted to expand the target audiences. Yes.
It's interesting to me, too, from a marketer's perspective, because I think a lot of CMOs and marketing leaders in higher ed, along with their enrollment counterparts, are being asked to find these new audiences, to grow alternate revenue streams, to grow outside of traditional geographies for the institution. And at the same time, there's this huge opportunity to leverage technology and data to claim more market share in our bread and butter geographies and with the demographics that have always enrolled in our institutions. And just balancing those two things can be, like I said, a balancing act. So I don't know if that resonates with you at all. And if you had to, it does. Okay.
It absolutely does. Honestly, I think you've summarized like the key strategic tenet of what it is that I've been charged with doing. So really taking a look at our existing, you know, base business, for lack of a better word, dialing it up, making it more efficient, making sure that we're reaching and attaining that market share. And then on the other side of things, really looking at new frontiers. And I would articulate that it's not only new audiences, but it's what is the institution doing already and how do we drive on top revenue in order to support the key mission of the institution. So it could be everything from events to corporate engagement and partnerships to what is the next big idea that can help drive on top revenue. So that balance has truly been challenging. But you really summarized it well.
Yeah, I think the on-tap revenue is a term that I haven't really used before. It makes total sense, though. And then thinking about how to kind of connect what's already happening with new opportunities, things like, do you have a big alumni presence maybe in a different part of the country? Is there any way to partner up with an alumni chapter? Do you have corporate relationships somewhere where currently a faculty member works really closely with a corporation and you could offer professional development opportunities there, even to like military ties or international presence? That's probably a way to accomplish kind of both things at the same time, where it's like, where are we already established and how can we build on top of that instead of having to really start from scratch with building brand awareness and recognition?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In terms of talent on your campus, I'm really curious. The two things that I love talking to higher ed marketers about are strategy and culture. I love marketing too, but I just feel like higher ed marketers are especially well equipped to add value to on strategy and culture. So I'm curious, as someone who has recently come to higher ed for the first time, you are now at an institution where, you know, probably like in most public institutions, compensation could be better. You know, collaboration is sometimes hindered by just red tape or silos. And yet you have these people who are really passionate about the mission of the institution. Have you had any insights over the last 20 months around that? Again, kind of similar. What has surprised you in a good way and in a bad way? And how do you feel as someone in your position or a cabinet level position at a large university? How can we best harness the potential and the talent that we have on our campuses?
Yeah. I think that is an amazing question. And I see myself in some of the attributes that you certainly listed, right? I see such amazing potential. I see a bright future. And I see that the coordination and alignment under a strategic vision or priority setting will really propel the university in the direction, you know, just in that future, that rose-colored light, so to speak. So I tend to be an eternal optimist, and I tend to be very transparent with my direct team for certain. And my team as a central marketing organization has dotted lines throughout the university at large, and they sit on other people's leadership teams and in other units. And what I've found is that I lead with authenticity and with transparency. And I have been trying, you know, humbly, of course, to try to break down those silos. I am here at the service of a target audience that the university is partnering with. We are all here as stewards of the mission and doing our absolute best and in trying or attempting to break down those silos, share a vision, immobilize a team toward that vision has been really what I've dedicated the last almost 24 months to. And I've made some inroads. I've certainly made inroads with my direct team and, you know, continue to sort of use them as stewards of a central marketing, again, vision. So to that end, you know, I think that I repeat myself, but authenticity and transparency are a couple of the cornerstones. Setting a vision and immobilizing a team toward that vision, getting as many key stakeholders and partners on board with that vision. And of course, having some quick wins under our belt to be able to say, look, it's working. So I had the luxury of bringing in a couple of new talents from the outside. My leadership team is a blend of those that have had long, you know, careers in higher ed, as well as some individuals from the outside. And that perfect blend of tenure and outside, you know, expertise has really done wonders for the central marketing team as a whole, as well as to capture and communicate quick wins. So I think from my side, I really see myself in those attributes that you just mentioned. You know, we don't get paid as much. There are silos. It might be difficult, you know, the headwinds, et cetera. But when you really believe in the vision and the mission of the institution, there's a certain level of optimism that gets that rises to the surface.
It can create the resilience to deal with some of those headwinds. Absolutely.
Well said.
If you were asked by someone who was maybe thinking about taking a leadership role in higher ed, who's coming in from the outside, and they were like, hey, Danielle, tell me some quick wins around what's it like to work with faculty, what would you tell them?
You know, my exposure to faculty has been fairly small, but when I've had the opportunity, whether it be to subsets of like a faculty senate, whether it be the dean's groups, whether it be the associate deans and such, I have found that laying out our roadmap as best we can, sharing some of those quick wins, they trust when they see that your vision's aligned, you're using data to support the direction you're going in, you're getting some good results with some quantifiable instead of this qualitative sort of assessment. It tends to work wonders. So from my side, it's not to say that it's all sunshine and roses. It's definitely not. You know, we've made some missteps along the way and have had some learning opportunities that have emerged. But generally speaking, you know, having those broad shoulders, we're all in it for the same reason. We are all in it because of the belief in the mission. We're all good people that are working toward that mission. And using, you know, data and strategy and alignment discussions to just bring everybody along from my side has been helpful.
The data, I would echo from my own experience, does wonders with faculty. And, it, you know, a lot of them are just researchers, deep believers in qualitative and quantitative data together. And that's really a way to get buy-in with faculty for sure. In terms of in general kind of thinking about Gen Z, right? And you marketing to Gen Z at the moment, although at some point we're going to be marketing to Gen Alpha as well if we want to catch them early. You know, they're late, even in eighth grade or early in high school, it's going to switch over. What do you think they want to see from our institutions? You know, what have you seen in your data and what do you still want to test out in terms of really being able to connect with Gen Z better than we have been in the past?
I think that's a great question. And I think it's a mix of things. But if I were to say some of the things that we're doing now and embarking on, I would say there's two things. Number one, I think Gen Z specifically is seeking authenticity, transparency, sort of that openness, and creating content that allows for them to get a authentic look, not only in the experience of higher ed, but the experience of higher ed at the University of New Hampshire is maybe the first thing. The second thing is, how do you translate what that experience will lead them to? Meaning, what's the end result? It's really great to think about what your experience might be from, you know, the academic point of view or the, you know, just generic on-campus experiences, what that might be, but really translating it into, at the end of the day, when you are all done at the University of New Hampshire, what will you have? And whether that be conversations with alumni or conversations within a particular industry or field to demonstrate these are the end result, or this is the value of a higher ed degree from the University of New Hampshire. So that authenticity, transparency, that storytelling, those quick sound bites are perhaps one thing. The second thing that we're embarking on as part of our new campaign idea, the University of New Blank, we're actually using some influencers to really tout the value of the University of New Hampshire through their own words in their own social circles, their own social media platforms, TikTok in particular. So while I don't think that capturing Gen Z is about a platform, I do think you need to meet them where they are with soundbite or digestible content that they're willing to receive. So what, you know, picking them up at the bus stop that they're at, so to speak, and where they are. So TikTok with digestible content in an authentic and transparent voice with a trusted source. So if it's a peer, if it's themselves, if they can see themselves in the author of the content, I think it's even more impactful for them. So these are just a couple of ideas that are on the front burner for our team, thinking slightly differently about how we capture their attention.
The influencer marketing is super intriguing to me because I think that few institutions are there yet. And it just makes sense to go down that path. And it's just that there might not be a template yet in higher ed that we can all follow and be like, you know, this works for most institutions who do this, get these results, and it's definitely uncharted terrain. So I'm really inspired that you're now looking at using more influencer marketing and curious to see the results as well.
Hopefully it works. So fingers crossed, it's something that come the beginning of February, we'll be launching on our, mm-hmm. on our social channels. So stay tuned. Yeah.
I will be. Yeah, it sounds like it's going to work and that you're doing all the right things in terms of authentic communication from trusted sources and the proof points of what's ultimately going to be the value of this experience, which should resonate with parents as well. If you're looking at the undergraduate audience, and then of course, on the graduate side, the older we get, the more we have a stake in our own ROI as well when we graduate from these institutions. So I guess you already talked a lot about some of the lessons learned and surprises that you've had. But if you were asked by an emerging higher ed leader, you know, what is something that you wish you had known early in your career about working with colleges and universities, what would you tell them?
It's not for the faint of heart, for certain. Everybody's a passionate sort of contributor, and everybody believes in the mission, and everything is important. And so from my side, the advice I would give is just to listen and to understand where they're coming from, because it's not wrong. At the end of the day, nobody comes into, you know, higher ed with an intent to be destructive. Everybody has, you know, a good intention, and spend your time listening and spend your time trying to organize all of the large, vast amount of information and content and details that are coming your way. Because at the end of the day, those connections matter, and it matters to the mission of the university. So, you know, be steadfast, listen, organize, and communicate, because you will find partners in the least likely places that will help you accomplish amazing things. So just be a really great partner early on in your career, and it certainly continues to translate the higher you go in an institution or the longer your career lasts.
It sounds like UNH is lucky to have you as a leader, and the advice that you just gave is relevant to young professionals, but also could probably help a lot of folks who've been in these roles for a long time, right? Everything is important. Nobody's wrong. Focus on people's good intentions. I think that's also easy to forget when you're in the day-to-day grind of these really high-stakes, mission-driven environments.
Well summarized. Yeah. Yep.
Well, it's been an absolute pleasure to talk with you. What a fun conversation. I can't wait to hear how this campaign unfolds and all the great results that you're going to see from it.
I appreciate it. Thank you so much. I really enjoyed this as well. It really helps to sort of be self-reflective in these moments and just remind yourself all the good things that you're surrounded with. So I really appreciate the conversation and the thoughtful questions you asked.
Awesome. I'm sure our listeners are going to appreciate all the great insights you shared. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us on this episode today. If you found value in our conversation, don't forget to subscribe to Higher Ed Leaders so you never miss an episode. Do leave a rating or review. That really helps us get this podcast into the hands of those doing the transformative work of higher education leadership.
And please do follow our company, Viv Higher Education, on LinkedIn or visit us at vivhighered.com. That's VIVHIED.com. We will also be talking about our episodes using the hashtag Higher Ed Leaders Podcast. And we will see you next time.